my lovelies. Thank you for joining us on the 42nd episode of Final Girls Horror Cast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On this episode, we're continuing with part 3 of Blood in the Water Month and discussing some more of the terrifying aquatic horror films, The Reef and The Shallows. Just a heads up for new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so listen at your own risk. The Reef is available to stream on Shudder, and The Shallows is on Stars, so feel free to check those out before continuing along with this episode. But before we dive into those, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Leatherface, with a theatrical release date of October 20th. Or maybe just a release date. I'm not sure how to expect this movie. It's directed by Alexander? Do you know Carly?
I think Alexander is good.
Is it just Alexander, but they want to put Ari?
It's like, you know, when you say spell theater fancy.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Alexander Bustillo and Julian Mari, who were the directors of Inside and Among the Living, which I've never seen, but I hear modern horrors talk about Inside a lot, I feel like.
I haven't seen it.
It's written by Seth M. Sherwood. The IMDb summary is a prequel about teenage Leatherface, who escapes from a mental hospital with three other inmates, kidnaps a young nurse, and takes her on a road trip from hell. Along the way, they are pursued by an equally deranged lawman out for revenge. One of these teens is destined for tragedy and horrors that will destroy his mind, molding him into the monster we now call Leatherface. It's quite a summary.
I didn't get any of that from the trailer. I didn't feel like this felt like a Texas Chainsaw movie. I was kind of thrown off by the music choice. I was really wanting to hear, we spoke about it in last episode, I think, one of the past two episodes, that amazing, loud, high-pitched noise. Yep, my favorite. I don't know what to expect from this movie. It didn't make me like want to see it, but it's like the content, like I obviously like I'm going to see it, but this in no way really felt like a Leatherface Texas Chainsaw-esque movie to me personally.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you didn't get Leatherface at all from it?
Well, I mean, obviously, because, like, he's peeling people's faces off and stuff like that. But, like, the way, I don't know if it was the way that the trailer was edited or something, but it just kind of felt like another, like, Platinum Dunes movie.
Like, it didn't feel dirty enough?
Yeah.
I could see that. Like, it doesn't have the same feel as the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Or even, like, that whole, like... lump of movies, because all of the sequels still have that like grittiness to it until you get to the like the Platinum Dunes one remake, which is like super polished and not my favorite.
I kind of got, I don't want to say like a little bit Eli Rothy feel from it. And the story, this write up, this summary sounds like it has like Rob Zombie stamped all over it. I'm not gonna lie.
I was thinking, totally. Especially with the deranged lawman out for revenge.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
And they go on a road trip and kidnap a nurse. I mean, that kind of sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
It sounds a lot familiar.
Let's see. We kidnap a nurse and it just... No.
It doesn't make sense. It makes no sense because, like, Leatherface is with his family, that's his family. It's not like, I don't know.
I think we're going to be in the minority here. I think people seem pretty excited about this movie. I just don't know. I'm not against it. I'm not necessarily even saying I don't want to see it, but...
The trailer didn't make me want to see it, but like, I know I'm going to see it because it's a Leatherface movie. Like, I'm going to see it no matter what, but like... I don't know. My interest wasn't piqued, I guess.
I'm just not really sure what to expect here. So yeah. I guess we'll see. To me, the summary on IMDb is making me seem less interested in it. But I, it looks fine. It just doesn't have the same Texas Chainsaw Massacre feel I was hoping for. You know,
exactly.
It looks a little too crisp and clean and like pretty. And I want something dingier, dustier, perhaps. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, it could be good. You can't really tell a whole lot from it.
Well, yeah, and that too. Like, I have no idea. I mean, I really didn't get any of this from the trailer, any of this description from the trailer.
This plot is really not doing anything for me. But we'll see. We'll see. It could be great.
I'm trying not to be down on it. I'm glad the masses are excited about it. I'm a little hesitant.
Yeah, well, I mean, only time will
tell. I'm also curious. I don't know what to think, to be honest.
Yeah. It just wasn't what I was expecting, because I heard everyone talking about it, and I was kind of expecting one thing, and then after reading the summary and seeing it for myself, I just felt something kind of different than what everyone else seems to be expressing. But we'll see.
I mean, just like you and I are on the same page, at least. So that's good. It does.
I mean, we usually are. Not always, but...
True.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on and let's talk about The Reef.
Woo. Okay, so neither of us had seen this movie, yeah?
No, neither of us have. So you picked this based off of lists of popular aquatic horror movies?
Yeah, this one kept popping up on Twitter, on the Twitter. And it was like also on like some top 5 and top 10 lists, and you know, Shudder usually picks some good movie films, so we went ahead and watched it. And so The Reef is from 2011, director Andrew Trocchi, writer Andrew Trocchi and James M. Vernon. So Andrew's done a couple things here. It looks like he did Blackwater and the segment G for Gravity and the ABCs of Death, neither of which I've seen,
Me neither.
Be totally honest. So the IMDb summary, a great white shark hunts the crew of a capsized sailboat along the Great Barrier Reef.
Perfect. Perfect summary.
Accurate.
Fairly accurate.
So this movie kind of reminded me of a movie we decided not to do. All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. Open Water.
Yeah. I was going to say. It's kind of familiar. But this is based on a true story.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to be honest here, true stories and horror, not my favorite combination. Like, actual true stories. Not, like, fake conjuring true stories. Like, actual true stories and horror. Yeah. Like, I feel like they don't go together in my head, because the whole reason I love horror is because it takes me away from, like, real horror. Like, real horrible things that happen. Like, I like the fiction part of horror. So when things are real, I find it very hard to watch. And this was terrifying to me.
I got frustrated a lot during this movie and I yelled.
Yes, lots of frustration, but not at the film itself, just at like things happening.
At people's decisions, I got really frustrated.
Yeah.
Quite a few times.
Although the decisions they made, I didn't think like they were necessarily bad decisions. I think that with the information we have, it seemed like bad decisions, but I don't know that I would have necessarily done anything differently than a lot of these characters, to be honest.
Okay, well, let's start from the beginning. So it's like four friends, right? Mm-hmm. Going out on a boat, gonna go sail the ocean, do some snorkeling.
Yep.
Sunbathe on the beach.
They're on holiday.
We've got a couple, and then we've got a couple that seems to have broken up.
Yes.
But now they're, you know, just going to hang out like friends.
Yes. And then we have the captain of the boat.
Yes, who is terrified of the water because he has caught quite a few great whites out there.
Yeah.
It seems like. And so I think in the movie, this is a great white, but in real life, it was a tiger shark. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. It was a 15-foot long tiger shark in real life. So they're in this boat. It capsizes. It flips completely over. Big sailboat. And they're unable to flip it back over. So they're not in a flight path. There's no one coming by anytime soon. So they either can stay on top of the bottom of this boat that's flipped over, or they can try and swim 12 miles back to where they were. And the longer they wait to make this decision, the further they're getting from the island or correct. From land. And so they have to kind of make a hasty decision. They got to figure out if they're going to try to swim 12 miles, which is very far. They can't even see land from where they right. are. Or they can stay there and probably just get dehydrated and die. Those yeah. are their options. And they know that there's probably sharks in the water. The captain told them there's sharks in the water. The captain refused to swim back to shore. And yet, off they go. So we have the four friends that decide to swim back, one of whom seems fairly confident and knowledgeable about the waters
mm-hmm.
and seems to know exactly which direction to go. They have a couple of flotation devices to help them along the way.
It's they're like all what? In wetsuits.
Yep, they're in a couple of them are in wetsuits. They have like a boogie board that's like cut in half. So
yeah.
two people have that. They have a couple fins. Two people are wearing one fin each. So yeah. they have stuff
and
to
they have
kind
a,
of help
a
them.
A snorkel mask.
And one bottle of water, which they all have to share.
Yes.
So,
issue that I was that I started like going ugh, but it's not because I was again like frustrated with the movie at all. Like I definitely this makes sense to me that people would do this, but it was like knowing what I know about sharks, it was really frustrating to watch. Mm. Was when they're all huddled and they're all fine and they're all moving along and like dude sees the shark and the shark's like swimming away and then all of a sudden they start splashing around and screaming mm-hmm. like injured fish, like an injured school of fish, and then they're surprised that the shark's gonna come back and be like, what's going on over here? I was yeah. like, you are literally the problem. Like you are literally creating this issue by drawing that much attention to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, that's when I texted you and I was like, I'm literally yelling at my TV right now.
Yeah, I was yelling at my TV as well, but not because I'm knowledgeable about sharks, just because I was like, keep swimming. Why are you stopping? They would just fucking sit there. I'm like, at least like kind of try moving or like, you know, someone be getting eaten and they'd be sitting there. And I'm like, you should be going away now. You
I was
cannot save that,
that
person.
I was like, does it make me an asshole that I would be like breaststroking in the opposite direction?
Carly, I want to tell you something. On. If yeah. we were stranded in an ocean and I was getting eaten alive by a shark, I would 100% want you to be swimming away from me and not toward me. And I would not be offended by that at all.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Same.
Yeah.
Same. Wasn't
that
one of the things in the real life situation is like one of the friend's legs got bitten off and he like swam away from the group so they could like
that's what I read. Yeah.
Get
one
away.
Of the guys yeah, one of the guys that actually was getting eaten made an effort to swim away from the group so that the shark would be further away from them. Yeah. So I don't know. The other smart weird guy. Thing in this movie, like some of this obviously isn't real. Like the basic story is real but you know, the relationships and the way the shark actually attacked them seem to be a little bit different. Yeah. Because in this movie, there's like a shark eating someone and then like an hour later eating another person. I don't know a lot about the way sharks eat, but I'm pretty sure that once they eat one person, they're not going to go for another person right away.
So they're gonna be like, I got this snack floating here.
Yeah.
That's just like not how they think and they're always moving.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just...
I honestly felt like the scenario was scarier than the shark. Like, I was certainly afraid of the shark, but I was more afraid of them dying in other terrible ways.
Yeah, like exposure.
Yeah, like dehydration. Or mm-hmm. I'm so susceptible to dehydration that I'm pretty sure I would die in like 5 seconds in this scenario. I'm like...
God, especially in salt water, are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Like, nightmare.
I'm outside for like 10 minutes and I have a migraine like instantly. I'm not, I don't do well in the elements. without all my necessary protectants, such as sunglasses and hats and lots of sunscreen, you know, things people usually need to not die. Lots of water. Yeah. So much water, all the water that's not salted, you know.
That's not exactly. That's yeah. not salted.
Yeah.
Man.
But, I mean, I thought this movie was really effective. It scared the crap out of me, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. So
same. I was super into it until stuff like started happening, I feel like, is when I kind of like lost me, because it's like the first guy that gets eaten is like with the group and everything's fine, and then he's like, I'm gonna swim by myself and go get this kickboard by myself. Wow. Even though my group is telling me not to.
Having that kickboard's pretty dire.
But they could have, like, done it together.
That's true. They probably should have gone together.
He didn't have to, like, make a run for it alone. Yeah,
that was a little weird.
It seemed very out of place. And then the end, like, I feel like they did a pretty okay job of all the shark occurrences up until the end, when they're like racing to get out of the water, and this like great white shark is like going up onto the rocks to try to like eat them.
Yeah.
They would have been fine probably.
Yeah. My heart was racing though. And like freaking out.
Yeah.
So it was super effective choice, but that part didn't seem very realistic.
I was like, but he's going to get him.
As a whole, like, this story is really scary and really effective and pretty realistic for the most part.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
Snarky comments aside. I was, like, feeling it, and I was like, ooh, like, biting my nails. I enjoyed it.
I really liked the scene before they leave. I really liked they took their time with this one part where they're all on top of the boat. After it's capsized, and one of the guys keeps diving underneath the boat to get supplies, and there's like pounding on the boat when he's under there getting supplies because they see a shark. Mm-hmm. And like that got my heart racing. Like that was really effective, and I really love the scene that they take so much time when they're trying to decide if they're going to swim or not, and our main character is explaining like, okay, we don't have a lot of time and we're losing strength the more we think about it, like we need to go now if we're going to do this, and how everyone really makes this decision for themselves, which I really liked. It seemed very realistic to me. Like, no one was necessarily pressuring anyone to make a decision because no one knew what the right decision really was.
Right.
But both decisions, you're taking a chance.
I feel like in this particular... I guess we'll get to that later. Never mind.
Oh.
I was going to answer the social media question of the week.
This is very much our social media question of the week, which we will get to later. But yeah.
I'm going
to
hold it.
It really is. No, but it's a great scene, and they really take their time and they really let it sink in that this is a very serious decision. This is a life and death decision, and they might die either way. You know, like there's no right choice here. There's just two choices, and make the one that's best for you. So I really liked that. And I really
love the shots of them not knowing what's underneath them, and then like, from the guy's point of view who has the goggles, like, looking underneath, and you just see, like, blue. And that's it. And maybe something in the distance.
Yeah, you might see, like, a fin in the distance, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm just like, a dolphin show up. Please, a dolphin show up. Please, dolphin. Come
for
save
a second,
them.
He was there.
Dolphins in my head are always heroes that save you when you're in water.
Oh, Flipper.
Oh, I grew up with Flipper. What are you going to do?
Me too. I love him.
Maybe Willy would show up, you know?
Yeah.
A friendly killer whale will show up and whisk you away to safety.
Save the day.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No, not so much.
So, all in all, I don't want to talk about it too in depth because not everyone has Shudder, and I think it's totally worth watching. I don't want to totally give away the ending. But all in all, I think the story is really interesting, and I think the movie was great. No real complaints here. I had a great time watching it. So good pick, Carly, even though you never saw it.
I really liked it too. I think that if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out for sure.
Totally, totally. Okay. So are we ready to move on to The Shallows?
Let's do it.
Okay, well, let's swim on into The Shallows. See what I did there?
I did. I liked it so much.
Thanks so much. Let's swim on into The Shallows from 2016, directed by, God damn it, there's that name again, Jami Coletzera, who is a director we've spoken about before when we did House of Wax, because he directed House of Wax, and also The Orphan. And it's written by Anthony Jaswinski, who is also one of our favorite writers we've talked about from when we watched Satanic, Carly's favorite movie of all time.
Of all time.
That movie's
terrible. I'm going to watch that movie when we're done here.
I remember talking about The Shallows when we did our Satanic film, and we were talking about how I heard The Shallows is pretty good. How is this the same writer?
Yeah. What happened here?
So now we get to talk about that some more. The IMDb summary for this film is, a mere 200 yards from shore, surfer Nancy is attacked by a great white shark, with her short journey to safety becoming the ultimate contest of wills. You've seen this one before, yes?
Yeah, I saw this in theaters.
Okay, this was my first time watching this one. So why don't you talk a little bit about why you picked it and how you initially felt about it?
I picked it because it's a very recent shark movie. I think this movie has a strong beginning and a weak end is kind of how I feel about it. I really enjoy, like the initial shark attack scene, okay, because I feel like it's pretty accurate and it's pretty legit as to like how something like that would go down. Mm-hmm. But then once you get to like as we were talking about briefly in the reef, like a shark would not just chill in this one area for like a day and a half trying to kill you.
Yeah.
They're not stalkers. Right. And then B, the weird breaching that they use when they attacked the other two surfers, like that's not a tropical shark thing. Yeah. So I thought that was like a really bizarre choice to have that happen. Like the only reason why sharks do that is because they like adapt. Like in South Africa, they have to adapt to like this small area around this island where they attack from the bottom, because they're catching these, you know, seals off guard and they're very nimble. Like you don't really have that in tropical waters. So like that was, you know, I remember seeing things for The Shallows a lot during Shark Week last year. Mm-hmm. And they were always talking about, like, Blake Lively was all like, yeah, sharks are so beautiful. And we're trying to, like, definitely, like, not vilify. And I was like, but that's kind of exactly what you did. but that's besides the point. But I was, like, surprised that, like, I think they had, like, a shark expert on set. And I was like, that's weird that he was like, it's fine. Just take the shot. Breach the sharks in that shallow water. Now, that makes sense.
And this one also has a great white, which I wonder if it's just because of Jaws that all these films feel like they need to use great whites.
Oh, definitely it is.
Yeah. Well, just to go through the plot a little bit, we have Blake Lively, who is absolutely stunning. Like
oh, she's total babe.
She's such a babe. She's in a car with a dude and they're in Mexico. And she speaks horrible Spanish, and they're driving to this beach that very few people know about, and it's her mother's beach. It's when her mother recently passed. It's her favorite beach. It's where she found out she was pregnant with her. And you slowly start to realize, okay, she's there with a friend, but her friend kind of ditched her because she's hungover. So now she's going to this beach by herself to surf at her mom's beach.
For the limited amount of characters that they have in this movie, they do a really good job of giving you backstory and, like, filling in the blanks, if you will.
I agree. I find it very surprising that this is the same writer from Satanic, because they do a really good job of kind of seamlessly giving you this background of the story. And they don't even really say that her mom died, but you see, like, the cancer photos and, like, you know, they kind of refer to her in the past tense, but it's not like... I don't know. You get a real sense for her love and why
they're
she's
never
there.
Like, hey, audience, her mom died of cancer and or my mom died of cancer and I'm so bummed out. So now I'm here on this little trip because I quit medical school, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not like that, but it's like, I'm going to give you this information.
Which is funny because that's exactly what they do in Satanic.
Oh my it's like, God, yeah.
Explain the shit out of everything by dialogue. So this was really nice. Maybe Satanic was like Anthony Jeswinski's like high school project or something.
Totally.
Anyway, so I think that they did a really good job with that story. I think they really did a really great job of showing that. Also, there's a really cool like way they use technology in this film. I always find it really interesting to see how people use text messaging and Skype calling and all that stuff in film. And I think the way they did it was really great. They had kind of a little side image of what she was looking at on her screen. You could see the bubbles pop up on the side. Not completely dissimilar to like House of Cards or something. It's kind of similar to that, the way they did it. But I really liked that. I thought it was really effective. It didn't take you out of everything happening. I thought the characters seemed fairly realistic. The only thing I had a really hard time with was Blake keeps talking about how she's like, I'm the responsible one and this is weird for me. Because I couldn't, and I am not at all an adventurous person, but I could never fathom going to a foreign country, getting in a car with a complete stranger, going to a beach that no one knows the name of or where it is, and deciding to get in the water by myself and not even having an actual way back. Like, I found this very hard to get behind.
That didn't bother me very much. I feel like, because we don't know how she met the truck guy, but like, he seemed fine.
He did seem fine. He did seem fine, but
I get what you're saying.
I would never do that, and I can't relate to that kind of, like, maybe if this was set in the 70s, I could get behind that. But an American in Mexico hitching a ride, going to some beach. Her friend totally ditched her, by the way. Her friend is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I agree there. But
Are you going to, if you're going to go to this, why not have a failsafe where someone fucking knows where you are? Like, I kind of thought at the end of this, like, they would find her because her friend would know where she was. Her friend would at least have...
Her friend's a disaster. Her dad and sister probably knew where she was more than her friend.
Her sister knew where she was, but she posted a picture, or she was looking through pictures of her mom at the beach with the pregnant woman belly rock. So I thought maybe, like, they'd be able to find her based on that picture or something. I don't know. I just kept thinking that would come back because they showed it so many times. But it didn't. And so, which is fine.
I don't think that this is that unfathomable. I feel like I know people that are that adventurous. And especially when you have something that ruins your world as much as, like, obviously, like, her mom dying did for her. Like, she is in a really weird shift where she's like trying to figure out who she is as a person. Like, that, this scenario doesn't,
it
doesn't seem
that
super surprising to me.
I understand that, but it's like, let's take every cautionary tale we have ever learned our entire lives and completely throw it out the window and make a bunch of shitty decisions. I just feel like she's talking about how she's so responsible all the time. Like, you'd think she'd at least put something in place so that, not necessarily it would even need to save her life, but just, I don't know, just a something that she tried to be responsible. I see no resemblance of anything she's doing that's actually responsible, other than maybe, like, at first keeping her distance from the dudes in the water. But I don't know. I had trouble getting over it because I can't wrap my head around being that adventurous. I am a big wuss and would never do any of this stuff.
If I was a surfer, I probably would.
I just wouldn't ever go by myself. I would need, I would need someone with me or something. I don't know. Going off by yourself in a foreign country, surrounded by a bunch of strange men, just doesn't sound like a good idea to me. But what do I know?
I gotcha.
Yeah. Also, you're like the most gorgeous woman ever in like the teeniest, tiniest bikini. I mean, I'm just saying, you're very trusting if you're doing that. I'm just saying. If I look like Blake Lively, I would trust no man.
That's the best thing you said.
It's the best thing I've ever said. That's kind of hurts my feelings a little bit.
I didn't say ever. I just said you've said. Right now, in that moment.
Okay, got you. But I like this movie. I didn't necessarily think it was all believable, but I think they did a really good job with it. I think it had its moments of terror. There were definitely times when I was on the edge of my seat. I really liked her friend Siegel that she had.
Me too. I'm so happy he made it.
Steven Siegel.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
So cute.
And I mean, I liked it. I liked how cute it was and also how scary it was, because it was both of those things. And she's really smart. I really liked how smart she was, and she made really smart decisions and did all the right things. So
seriously,
for real,
I would never have thought about the buoy thing.
I wouldn't have thought about life. Literally any of it. I just would have accepted my fate and let the shark eat me.
I probably would have been the asshole that, like, tried to swim to shore.
Yeah, I probably would have done that, too. And then drowned or something. I liked how she tried to eat a small crab and immediately spit it out. I mean, it's just, like, it just seemed that part, like, those little things seemed very realistic. But,
yeah.
You know, she's a doctor. We got a little body horror in here, which is my all-time favorite, as we all know. It is my total fave. So yeah, I was impressed. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. And it really pisses me off that Blake Lively was pregnant when she was filming this. Like, how? How? How do you look like that?
She was early. It was early on.
I know, girl, but fuck, I can't even look like that on a good day. And she's like pregnant with a baby.
She's paid to look like that.
Dang.
It's fine.
I'm just saying. I'm not hating. I am appreciating.
She's a babe.
Total babe.
But there's only one scene that's the CGI Blake Lively face is super noticeable. And that was impressive.
What was that?
When it's like the face shot of her riding the wave.
Oh.
When she's surfing.
I didn't even notice. But there was she had a body double for the surfing scenes, obviously. I guess the surfer they actually used was a 19-year-old from Australia named Isabella Nichols. And she also taught Blake how to paddle and wax aboard and all that stuff. So she was in the surf shots. I also thought it was really believable the way Blake was dressed. All the jewelry, the bracelets, the long blonde hair, very like bohemian surfer girl. That's like a very familiar look to me as a Southern Californian.
Totally.
I was kind of surprised they didn't just have her be from Southern California. I thought it was weird that she's from Texas. But whatever. I guess that's fine. Doesn't really matter. But I don't know why they couldn't have just made her from California. I don't know what difference it really would have made. She totally looked like she was from California. I've been to Texas a few times. I never saw anyone that looked like that there. But no, she looks the part.
Yeah.
And I loved how she was able to use her jewelry to like mend stuff and like,
I know, sew her leg up.
Basically use them as tools. Like, it's kind of awesome. It made me want to start wearing more jewelry in case something horrible happens.
What if you're ever in
this
position?
Yeah.
You need sharp, pointy earrings.
Yeah. What if I ever need to, like, put staples in my leg because something bit me? I need to start wearing more earrings, Carly.
Yeah. Do it.
I think I should. You should also. We should both start wearing lots of earrings.
We'll just rock all the earrings.
All the earrings.
Because of Blake Lively and The Shallows.
And multiple necklaces and bracelets.
Every day.
I also love how she wears those, like, this wetsuit. Well, just the top of the wetsuit. And then, like, zips it down. Like, zips it all the way up. And zips it down like Mr. Rogers. And then, like, ba-bam. Boobs in your face. Because heaven forbid you zip it up all the way.
That's the move.
I guess. I mean, I'm not crying about it. I'm just saying, if there's a bunch of strange dudes, I'm surrounded by a bunch of strange dudes, I would fucking zipper that shit all the way up.
My favorite thing is that is your least favorite thing about this movie are all the strange men.
I am so afraid of strange men. I am so afraid of strange men all the time. Like, I'm so afraid to be the only woman in a group of strange men in a place where I have no way out. That sounds like a terrible idea to me. This whole movie, I'm just
like, this is not. We know what Amy's horror movie would be.
This is definitely my horror movie. Before the shark thing even happens, I'm like, this is not a good idea. Like,
this is terrible. And then we have the drunk. Can we just talk about the drunk man for a second? God. That, the like, drunk man. Stealing all her shit.
Oh.
And then, okay. Like, wanders into the ocean for some reason.
Well, because he was decided he was going to save her. So there's a drunk guy on the beach. She sees him. She flags him down. She wakes him up. He's totally hammered. And she's like, hey, you need to help me. She's waving at him. Guy obviously doesn't speak English and she's not speaking Spanish. So there you go. She's waving at him. He waves back.
He's so nice. Hello.
So she says, telephone, points to her bag. He goes to her bag, grabs her telephone, decides, it's my telephone now. And then she, you know, keeps trying to flag him down. He decides to steal her shit, takes her backpack. But then as he's walking away, he sees her surfboard. And this is when I realize, I think he's trying to save her. Because I think at that point it clicks. Like, oh, she's not just some stupid whatever. Like, she's stuck out there. I should go try to save her. She probably just doesn't know how to swim without her surfboard. Like, that's what I saw in my head.
I thought he was trying to just, like, take the surfboard.
You thought he was trying to steal the surfboard also?
I did. Yeah.
Maybe. But to me, there was, like, a look of recognition that where he was like, oh. But maybe there wasn't. But to me, it was like, oh, I probably shouldn't just leave her out there to die.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think the best of people.
Oh, now she's trying to think the best of people.
Well, I always want to think the best of people, but I just don't trust them because of, you know, life and circumstances and things that happen all the time. So it doesn't mean I don't want to think the best in people. Just weary of them. So anyway, yeah, he totally gets eaten by a shark.
He gets eaten in half.
Yeah, but
and
right
the best
half.
Part about this kill is that you don't see it. It's all just like Blake Lively's reaction to this man getting ripped apart. And then you see his top half crawling back onto the beach.
And the back half kind of washing ashore behind
is
him.
Gone.
Which was really great.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of gore in this movie, but the gore that there is very effective.
It is. It looks super good.
It does look good. And I really liked the beginning to end tie-in with the GoPro. I thought that was great. I thought the tie-in with technology was really good here. Pretty realistic. And I liked the end. I didn't feel the same way you did about the end. I didn't feel like it felt rushed at all.
I didn't feel like it felt rushed. It was just super unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like with the shark ramming its face into the bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, dear.
These sharks are all very determined. Yeah, here's another movie where it eats one person and then immediately eats another person. Why?
Two more people, yeah.
It doesn't need to eat two people. I mean, it's a big shark and all, but I think one person would suffice for the time being.
Yeah, no. Sharks need to be moving constantly, so they're not just going to be, like, swimming in circles in one beach. They're movers. They get around.
Yeah.
This is very unlikely.
That whale. Movie. Okay, so there's also this whale. All right, before she gets trapped, she finds this whale that's dead, and it's disgusting. And she's on top of. Oh man, that was so gross.
Smells so bad.
Oh my god, it would smell so horrible. Like, you would know that whale was there the whole time. That's how bad it would have smelled. The whole beach would have been stinky.
Yes.
But, like, she's on this whale, and there's, like, cuts on it, and she's, like, holding on to, like, the whale flesh, and, ugh.
I really liked that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the beginning was so... No, I thought that was great. That's why that would make... If that thing was there, a shark would definitely be there. Especially a great white, because it would be, like, scavenging.
Totally.
All this blubber. But
then when the shark charges at the whale to knock her off, that did not seem very realistic to me. That whale went flying.
Yeah. There's good things, there's not so great things, but all in all,
great. I really recommend it. I actually got a 7-day trial of Stars to watch this.
Nice.
Because it wasn't really rentable anywhere else, but I don't know. I thought it was worth the 7-day trial at Stars. Stars also has some pretty great movies on there.
They do.
Kind of off topic, but I'm just saying, Stars is not the worst streaming. Looking. No, it doesn't. It seems like a really good streaming service. There's a lot of like really great new releases on there, and some really great old releases as well. Sidetrack. Anyway, all in all, recommend from me. This one was a little easier to watch, I thought, than The Reef. I thought The Reef was scarier to me. I found The Shallows to be more fun. Still,
I agree.
Terrifying, but more fun.
More fun, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, then. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, well, let's go on with our newest segment, which we like to call...
Social Media Question of the Week.
This week's question is, your boat capsized. Now stranded in the ocean, do you stay where you are and risk dehydration? Or try and swim and risk a shark attack? There's a note here that it's a large sailboat you cannot flip back over, and you're 12 miles from shore. So basically the same scenario as The Reef.
Yeah.
So I thought this was scary and a great choice for a question because I couldn't really quite figure out what I would do in that scenario. So I went to Twitter and we asked everybody. So let's read off some of these.
Sounds good. So we've got at Grim Horror, who says, swim for it. And if shark would try to attack, a punch in the eye and ride that bitch to shore. And then we got some fun emojis. Yeah. Film Roasts Show says, I try to swim. I got to get to shore and find water. If I die, at least I died trying. Wait, I just realized swimming 12 miles would take me over 4 hours. So dehydration, here I come.
Okay, they changed their mind on that
I liked
one.
The shift.
Yeah.
Sam S. says, I'd try to swim if I had some debris to float on. I might be screwed either way, though. I hope whatever eats me gets heartburn. It's a good wish.
It is. At Donanelli says, Mythbusters told me how to fend off shark attacks. Yes, I'll take my chances and swim for it. At least I'd be doing something that way. Okay, I should watch some Mythbusters. I mean, I wish Don and Ellie would drop some knowledge on us so that I know how to fend off shark attacks.
Mythbusters is great. So you poke the eyes and then don't like their noses touched and also grab the gills.
Yeah.
You just got to fight. You fight dirty.
Anything sensitive, right?
Anything to like agitate the shark to be like, ooh, stop that. No.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, I'm reason? Sorry. I'm just trying to help you. Poke me in the eye. See ya. Dick.
That's what sharks sound like, guys. Yeah. In case you're wondering.
You're welcome.
As the giant be with you says, oh yeah, dehydration and stay put. Hallucinating is better than getting attacked and possibly eaten alive.
Okay.
At Boss Captain Ross says, I don't swim well, so I'll just drown.
Captain Ross. Elizabeth says, try to swim, but I'm slow and will probably be eaten. Better than death by dehydration. Mm-hmm. She makes some sense. Mm-hmm. Kung Fu Dracula says, swim for it. If Jaws 3D taught us anything, it's that dolphins will protect you. Might be my favorite answer.
I literally was thinking that the dolphins... I secretly love Jaws 3D. You love all the Jaws movies.
Oh, man. It's so good, but it's so bad. It's delightful.
But I always think dolphins are going to save me, though. I know I already said that, but I agree. I always feel like the dolphins are going to save me.
The dolphins will protect you.
Yeah.
Maynard, what is it?
Maynard is old.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You throw your shipmates to the sharks and swim like hell. Hashtag open water.
Wow, some brutal shit. I like it.
I do too.
Okay. On Instagram, Black Cat says, well, if you stay in the boat, you could collect rainwater and morning dew. Also, you could have something to eat if you get my drift. It depends also how close to shore you are. Guess the boat. Bon appetit. So, and then I told him that you really, like, you can't be in the boat. You have to be on top of the boat. And it didn't really change his answer. So, boat it is for Black Cat. Tommy B on Facebook says, ugh, I swim towards the shark and hope it's quick. Admitting nice. Defeat very quickly there, Tommy.
Yeah, he's given up.
Yeah. And Jonathan W said, I would probably panic to the point of a heart attack, but if that doesn't happen, I would start swimming, I guess. So our tallies, I mean, even with our own votes, Carly, swimming is by far the winner here. We got 9 votes for swim and 3 for staying in the boat. What do you feel about it?
I would 100% swim.
Yeah.
There's like no two ways about it. I hate being hungry and mm-hmm. I hate being thirsty. Mm-hmm. And like at least if I'm swimming for 4 hours, that I'm moving.
Yeah.
You know? But if I'm staying on a boat and I'm drifting further into like the middle of nowhere, I will just be hungry and thirsty forever until I die. And that does not sound like fun to me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at least if I'm swimming, my mind is going to be occupied. Although it seems pretty likely that I would wuss out and stay on a boat. But I think if I had other people to swim with me, I would probably swim. I think, especially if someone knew what direction to go in, because I definitely don't have those life skills. That is not something I possess.
No.
But I'm really great at floating on my back. I practice all the time in my pool.
I was just thinking that. I would just lay on my back and I would just slowly kick.
I feel like minimal... I could back paddle. I could backstroke the whole way there.
Yeah. Minimal splashing.
Yeah.
If I need to pause, you know, hopefully I would be the one with the goggles. I'd flip over. I'd check out my situation.
Yeah.
Keep going. I feel like I would make it in this scenario.
I feel like I would at least try. I was surprised that the people in the reef didn't fight the shark more. I was kind of expecting at least a punch or a something. Because I know, I never saw Mythbusters, but I do know about punching sharks and poking shark eyeballs because I've heard of people getting away from shark attacks that way. We hear about shark attacks here in Southern California. It's not a completely rare occurrence. And my husband's from Hawaii, so he knows a lot more about sea life than I do.
Kind of like what I was explaining. Like, they're in tropical waters, so the sharks haven't super adapted to, like, be super agile. Like, the ones that we see on Discovery Channel who are trying to eat seals. Like, those sharks are crazy agile. Like, I would probably die if a shark like that was eating me or trying to eat me. But if, like, you can keep your eye on whatever is coming towards you, like, you can probably get out of the way or, like, do something rather than just staying upright, splashing and screaming. Like, I feel like there's ways to at least improve your chances.
Yes. Agreed.
You know.
All right. And did you know they have, like, shark deterrent now? Like, apparently a lot of boats have this device that send out signals to kind of warn sharks away from you. Yeah, like,
irritates them.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Especially anytime I'm on a boat, there better be one of those things or else I'm not getting on it. I'm just saying.
Just invest in a shark deterrent situation. Yes.
This is such a great idea to do this month right before I go to Hawaii, Carly. Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm really going to be getting in the water a lot, I'm sure. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about what's going on with us. Do you have anything new to report? Anything fun and new that you've watched or done, Carly?
So I saw War for the Planet of the Apes this weekend, and I also saw Wish Upon.
You saw Wish Upon?
Yeah, my cousin really wanted to see it, so we went to go see it.
And?
So it was watchable. It wasn't terrible.
Okay.
But it's like it gets...
Terrible.
It gets more difficult to watch as it goes on.
Yeah.
But it's not super horror. Like,
no.
It's really not. There's some horror elements for sure, but it's not like a scary movie.
Is it like a teenage horror movie?
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
See, but like when I think of teenage horror movies, like I automatically think of like Scream.
I know you do.
But that's because like, you know, whatever. But I think it, yeah, it was definitely like that. It was along those lines. Mm-hmm. But Ryan Phillippe still got it. So that's fun.
Nice. Anything else?
That's it, I think. I feel like I watched something else, but maybe I am lying to myself.
I watched quite a few things. I just watched The Passengers. Now that I have a week-long Star subscription, I'm going for it. I'm going to watch all the movies I can on there. I also watched XX, finally.
I still haven't watched that yet. How is it?
Which I'd like to do an episode on it, so I don't want to talk too much about it right now. Cool. But I didn't hate it, especially after what everyone told me about it. And then I also watched The Stuff, which was my Shudder watch for the week, which was one that's been on my list for a long time, and it was super enjoyable and fun.
Awesome.
So that's great. And then Game of Thrones, of course, last night was on. God, and it was so fucking good. Amazing. No spoilers, just saying it was amazing. It was everything I wanted it to be and more.
And more.
And more.
I'm so excited for this season. I'm sorry. I love it so much. It's
gonna be great. I guess that's it, you know? Been watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt also, because
I need to watch that.
You never watched it at all?
No, I'm, like, not in the mood to start a new series.
Oh, it's so goofy and stupid. It's fun.
I know.
Did you like 30 Rock? Because I get a total 30 Rock comedy type vibe from it. Okay, you'll like
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll start it.
It's goofy.
It's just that, like, it just takes me to watch one, and then I'll get sucked in. But I just haven't just taken
it. It's just a really creative premise and, like, a really fun, silly kind of comedy. I recommend it. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that we can close out then.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for more information on them or to listen to any and all of our episodes. We also have stickers to give away. Email finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com and we will send you some free stickers. I haven't sent out stickers in a really long time, guys. I'm just going to start
like... Give us a reason.
I'm just going to wallpaper my room in stickers because apparently I bought all these stickers and I'm trying to give them away. I can't even give them away. How sad. How sad. You guys suck. Just kidding. I love you. Please ask for some stickers.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
So, Carly.
Yes?
Guess what next week is?
What?
It's Piranha 3D and Deep Blue Sea Week.
Oh, man. It's a good week.
I mean, none of these movies are streaming, but I think everyone will agree that it's worth it.
It's, like, so worth it.
Especially Deep Blue Sea, which is basically everyone's favorite shark movie next to Jaws. It's,
and
like,
guys,
Jaws
Deep Blue Sea.
And then Deep Blue Sea.
No great whites. We've got Mako sharks.
Yeah.
And one tiger shark. It's very exciting.
And we also have one of my favorite rap songs of all time. So
ever.
I can look forward to that. I'm kind of sad we don't have a goofy song to play at the end of this episode.
I know. There wasn't anything in here.
No.
Dang it. We had a good thing going with the other ones.
Oh, and we also have Liam and Justin from the Horror Business joining us, which will just make it all the more fun.
We love those guys. Very
those
exciting.
Dudes are so much fun, and we were on their show quite a while ago, and we haven't gotten to have them back on yet. So we're excited.
We talked about aliens when we were on their show, and now it's bringing them on our show to talk about sharks, and I'm super excited about it.
And piranhas.
And piranhas.
In 3D.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What's with all the aquatic horror in 3D? Why is that a thing?
I don't know, because blood and guts in 3D underwater is, like, super exciting.
Maybe it's just easier because of the water.
That's probably true.
Maybe.
Create that ambiance.
Well, until then, guys, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly. Bye! Bye.